we're back for the Heroverse.
Yeah.
Sorry about the few months hiatus. If you have been listening to the Bearded Opinion, you'll know it's because we've just been busy and stuff over the last couple of months. But we're back for this month. We're hoping we can potentially get another set of episodes recorded and out after this set. But if not, it's going to be another month or two's hiatus again.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
If we do get one more, there'll still be a month gap.
And then by the end of the year, we'll be back on form. Just been a busy year
should be September. We're back normally.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But anyway, so we're here.
We're now
MCU timeline.
Yes. One quick mention is that a film we haven't... Well, we did sort of... I think we sort of covered it, was The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
That is now actually back...
We did
back
cover
at,
that one.
We are... That's now back under Marvel Studios. They've got the rights back. And it is now also included on the MCU's timeline order and in Phase 1.
Yeah.
For the MCU. As we know, the Hulk fits in somewhere between Iron Man 2 and Thor.
Yeah.
But we're well past that in our timeline, so we're not going to spend too long on that. I just wanted to give it a quick mention.
Yeah.
Now, if we can just get Marvel Studios to get Spider-Man back from Sony, then we will be laughing because the MCU on the Disney Plus app will be complete.
Yes. They need to at least get a distribution deal from them.
Yeah. Right, so we are now all the way up to Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which take place straight after one another in the timeline.
Yep.
We're not going to be really talking about the I Am Groot shorts. Sure. They are quite funny, but they're basically just showing you how from Guardians 1, Groot starts walking.
Yeah, it's just the evolution of baby Groot.
Effectively.
Just go watch them. You can watch them.
They're 10 minutes each.
Yeah, you can watch them in like an hour or so.
Yeah, well, there's 5 episodes, 10 minutes each, so it's just under an hour's worth of footage. They are quite funny. My little 2-year-old absolutely loves them.
Yeah. Well, they were made for kids, the Groot ones, weren't they?
So, Guardians of the Galaxy 1. So, what I am going to say is that the soundtracks in Marvel Cinematic Universe films are good.
Yeah.
The Guardians soundtrack from Vol 1 and Vol 2 are legendary.
They are. And we're aware 3 has just come out, but neither of us have seen that.
No.
Because we're waiting for it to appear on Disney+.
So, Guardians 1, I think, is possibly one of the better MCU films.
Yeah, totally agree. It sets up a team. It's what a team film needs to be.
Yeah. I think they did really well with the casting in this film. I think that they all play their roles really well, especially Dave Bautista playing Drax. I think they are what the later Thor films should have been in terms of how you put comedy into an MCU film properly.
Yeah.
Because we know that... I know you're not a massive fan of Ragnarok.
No, I'm not. I think it's the worst of them all.
I quite liked Ragnarok. I think that Ragnarok got the balance slightly off with the comedy, but obviously nowhere near as Love and Thunder.
See, I prefer Love and Thunder to Ragnarok.
However, Guardians, it is a comedy.
It is, yeah.
And because you know it's a comedy, and the team's obviously quite... comedy orientated anyway, I think they can get away with more humour in this film anyway.
Definitely.
I think Guardians really set up the out of space of the MCU really well.
Yeah, the out of space stuff, yeah.
Because obviously we know that pretty much most of the MCU takes place on Earth.
Yeah.
Currently.
I think it's partly because it's easy.
Yeah.
You want to, like, where do you want to go? Oh, I want to film this in Egypt. Okay, let's get some plane tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to film this in China, Russia, Japan, England, Brazil. You buy a plane ticket. Whereas doing shit in outer space involves a lot of green screen work.
Yeah, but they did it really well.
They did.
And I think that, you know, I think they may have, for me, I think they rushed a little bit in this film with how quickly the whole group got together. Because they didn't really provide a lot of backstory for any of the characters.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that if they hadn't have rushed it, then the film possibly wouldn't have.
I mean, in this, you get more backstory for
Peter Quill.
Peter, you get a little bit for Gamora, a little bit for Drax.
Nothing for Rocket and Groot.
Nothing
until.
Well, that's what this. Until,
yeah, the, this the film third, is basically the backstory of Rocket and Groot.
Third film is Rocket and Groot. The second film, I think, you do get some decent backstory with Mantis.
Yes.
Coming into it, but we'll get on to that in a minute. But this film did well at setting up you know, you discover Peter has, at the end, you obviously discover he's got the celestial blood in him.
Yeah.
And it's mainly, you know, about trying to defeat Ronan and get the power. Is it the Power Stone?
Yes.
Yeah, Power Stone off him. And it did well at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot more you can say other than the Guardians is up there in terms of best films of the MCU. And I think that is just because it's a little different in its tonality. It's, like we say, it is a comedy primarily, whereas a lot of the other films, they've got comedy elements to them, maybe, but they tend to be...
They're action films.
They tend to be more of an action, serious film. Especially the Cap films. The Cap films, I would say, are probably the most serious out of the MCU.
Yeah, go on.
But then I would say that is because Cap is quite a serious guy.
Yeah.
But Guardians 1, I would say it's probably my favourite soundtrack of an MCU film, definitely.
Yeah.
I do like the Volume 2 soundtrack, but I think Volume 1 soundtrack is the top.
I think the escape from the prison scene's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rocket trying to get that guy's
He wants the leg, and he gets Peter to go off and get the leg for it. And obviously, then you find out it's nothing to do with the plan. It's just Rocket has a thing for getting broken bits.
And it was hilarious.
Obviously, we lost Groot in Guardians 1. And I know that everyone goes, no, we didn't lose Groot because we get baby Groot. Yeah, yes, but that isn't Groot.
It's a Groot.
It's a Groot. It's not the Groot.
Yeah.
I think they did that really well. Then, obviously, we do get Ashort from the I Am Groot series.
Yeah.
Which comes between the two. And I'm going to touch on it because that explains how in Guardians Vol. 2... Groot has grown to be able to walk.
Yeah, from the plant pot.
Effectively. And then the other Groot shorts come after Guardians 2. So Guardians 2, I think, does quite well because it starts off focusing on baby Groot.
Yeah.
And we get that lovely little dance scene while the rest of the Guardians are being thrown around and fucking fighting some evil big space alien. And obviously, you don't give a shit about the action going on behind because you're just watching baby Groot walking and dancing.
I do like that in this, they're heroes.
Yes. But at the same time, they've got that almost anti-hero feeling about them as well, which is right for the Guardians.
Yeah,
because they are not... They're not good. They're not bad. They are good when the time calls for it and they're naughty when it needs to be.
Yeah.
So,
but I think that's more of a reflection of what people are.
Yes.
You are a little bit naughty, but like, generally people are good, but if you were saving an old woman's life and saw an excuse to pocket 20 quid, well, you'd pocket the 20 quid, let's be honest.
Yeah. Now, with Guardians 2, it is the... Guardians 2 was the first MCU film that made me cry.
Did you shed a tear?
And it was for Yondu. And the reason being is Yondu was one of my favourite characters. And I think it's because of the actor that played him as well, because I loved
Michael Rooker,
I loved him in The Walking Dead. Even though you're not supposed to like him in The Walking Dead, no, I couldn't help but love him.
You know why I like him? And I'll be perfectly... And I know this is weird. Walking Dead survival instinct. The action game where you play as Daryl and you're being told what to do by Merle, you can see in that he does care for Daryl.
Yeah. But yeah, it did make me cry at the end. And it wasn't Yondu dying that made me cry. It was the Ravager funeral that made me cry. Because obviously you had Cat Stevens' father and son play in.
Yeah.
And then you had all of these Ravagers.
Sylvester Stallone in it.
Yeah.
This, in my opinion, is one of Sylvester Stallone's best roles since the early Rocky and Rambos.
Yeah.
You know, when he was just a good actor. He wasn't the top dog. I know he was always a well-famous actor, but if you go back to the first Rocky, the first Rambo, he was just a really good actor.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really good place for him. And I think part of it is he's not in charge. And I think that's something that Sylvester has a bit of a problem with, that when he's in charge, ego takes over.
Yeah. Obviously, at the Ravager funeral at the end of this film, we get to see the comic book original Guardians, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they do that. That the MCU goes, right, well, we know what happens in the comics, and everyone knows what happens in the comics because you've all read the comics. So we don't want to do a replay of the comics on film. We want to do our own story, our own timeline, but we can give hints and little cameos.
They take things from the comics which work, but and here is the comic storyline, we're going to adapt it into our own thing, but then they go, okay, you want something to do with the comic, here you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go.
They like to give a little bit of fan
and
service.
And they don't do it bad, though.
No, they don't.
I don't stand there and go, oh, that's cheesy as fuck, because that's the...
But the thing is, though, if they did that, if they did a cheesy as fuck moment, it'd have to be in a Guardians film.
Yeah.
I think that's the only place where that level of cheese would work.
I will just say, in the Spider-Verse, they do a lot of, in the first one and the new one, that you've seen, they do a lot of that, here's a cheesy thing, and you're there going, yeah, you've now done it for the sixth time, Sony, I've had enough for now, can we have a bit of story? The Marvel films do it right, they go, hey, remember this, and you go, yeah, that was cool, and then an hour later they go, hey, also, do you remember this? And you go, yeah, that was cool too. Because you're not bored of it.
Yeah.
But when I get six that go boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it's too
much.
I'm
there going,
I think Guardians Vol. 2 had more action in it than the first Guardians.
I mean, you've got the Finding Mantis. You've got the fact that you learn his backstory. You've got Ego.
Yeah, you've got the fight scenes between Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah.
Quill and Ego. You've also got Yondu versus the rest of the bad Ravagers and Taserface. Taserface. That scene for me where Yondu has got his mohawk.
The new one.
The new mohawk on. And then he's walking through his ship, just killing the entirety of the crew because they rebelled against him, was fucking perfection.
Yeah.
I loved it. Especially when Baby Groot got his little revenge on the guy that had been fucking... I loved that whole thing for me was just possibly perfection of scenes in the Guardians film.
Yeah. The love story between Drax and Mantis works.
Yes.
She's like a cute, innocent child that knows fuck all.
I like...
And he cannot understand...
To me, the
inflections of speech is too silly.
To me, those two characters work really well together because it's like what happens when you get two people that are on the autism spectrum
at different ends
of the spectrum and put them together. And that's what it's like because Mantis has only ever lived with Ego.
Yeah.
She's one of Ego's children in this. That was pretty established. And she has only ever known Ego because that's the only person that she's ever been around. So she doesn't know how to act around people. Drax is a member of a race of people that take everything literally, which is what people with Asperger's do.
Yeah.
And Mantis has got another form of autism almost. And you just put them together and it's just like they don't know how to act because none of them have that social skill. It's brilliant to watch.
When he does get a lot of the autistic... children and any on the spectrum coming up to him and being like,
Yeah, well, this was the thing, because Dave Bautista said, and obviously Kevin Feige said, that Drax isn't autistic.
No.
It's just that's how his race work. But because you can take from that, well, that's a lot how autism works.
Yeah.
The autistic communities out there now actually feel represented in film, and I think that's brilliant.
And that's the thing. Because I don't know much about Drax on the... I don't know if that's how his race are in the comics. I really don't.
I think they are.
Yeah. But even if they weren't, if that's how they... A race like that isn't...
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible at all.
And you actually see it in lots of different sci-fi. There's normally an alien species somewhere in sci-fi, in most sci-fi.
Yeah.
And they are very literal. They don't understand sarcasm and humour.
What's
and
his
things.
Name from Star Trek?
Yeah.
That I can't think of the race.
Data,
yeah.
He was an android.
Yeah. That's not what I'm thinking of.
Spock.
Yes.
Spock's from a race that take things literally and they don't feel emotion. And then you've also got, for instance, in the Mass Effect game series, the Salarians are very much the same. So I like that. For me, I think Guardians does what most sequels can't, and that is match the energy of the first film.
No, I agree.
And normally when
I've got to say, Iron Man 2 and Cap Winter Soldier, the middle two films, they're the weakest of the three.
No. The Winter Soldier is probably the second best Cap film.
In terms of the weakest?
The weakest is Captain America.
No, I prefer...
For me, it goes... In the order of strength, Civil War is the top.
Yeah.
Then Winter Soldier, and then it's Cap.
All right. For the majority of people, then I'll go Iron Man and Thor. How's that? And ignore four Thor a minute.
Yeah.
I'm on about the original three.
Yeah.
The middle child.
Yeah, it doesn't always do as well.
They both have that problem of what are we doing
but
here?
But Guardians 2 doesn't have that issue.
And in fairness, look at Avengers. If you said Infinity War and Endgame were one film...
Yeah.
Age of Ultron's the weakest.
Yes, it is, yeah. Absolutely. And that's just because they underutilise characters. Whereas in Guardians 2, they don't underutilise anybody.
No.
They actually give them more. So the
main five have their still shining glory moment, and then they bring in Yondu, who's not wasted. They bring in Nebula's not wasted.
Yeah.
Mantis isn't wasted. Taserface isn't fucking wasted.
Yeah.
The new guy who takes over from Yondu.
Yeah.
The guy with the fucked up... He's not wasted. Even Stallone is not wasted.
No.
He played such a small part.
Even the smallest of parts in the film, Howard the Duck, was not wasted.
None of them are.
And that's the
thing. If anything, I'd say the most wasted character is Ego.
Yeah.
Because I think... And here's one thing. I believe a lot of... conversation was left on the cutting room floor between Quill and Ego.
Yeah.
Because I think it goes from daddy to prick far too quickly between those two.
No, but I think also, I think...
But I get the it film, for pacing.
The film, like you say, it doesn't underutilise any real character, but it expands on each of them. So we see that Nebula has development in this film because she starts to stop listening to Thanos.
Yeah.
And become more about it. Obviously, it becomes more of her revenge mission against Nebula. And then when she realizes that Nebula was just as tortured almost as she was, that then she starts to realize, well, actually, why am I fighting my sister?
Yeah.
When I should be really thinking about killing Thanos. And I think that development works. Yondu's development works. Obviously, we see that he was in the first film, he's a bit of a prick.
Yeah. But then,
and then we start to see, actually, Yondu's not a prick.
He was meant to deliver Quill straight to Ego, and then didn't.
And didn't.
Destroyed him in a heartbeat.
But he actually gets more of a hero arc in it. And then we see the finalisation of that hero arc for Yondu, obviously, when he saves Quill and takes him to space and kills.
May have been your father, son.
Yeah, but he wasn't your daddy. I love that. I loved it.
One of the best lines in Marvel.
And the second best line in Marvel is, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all!
I'm Mary friggin' Poppins! Yeah.
The Guardians overall, both films, I can't talk about the third because we haven't seen it. They give you so many
I've not heard a bad thing about Guardians 3, I'll say.
I've
not heard anything. I'll be fair. Right, here's one thing I'll say. So Guardians 3 and Across the Spider-Verse released similar time, yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard fuck all about Guardians.
Yeah.
If I'd have seen one more attempted spoiler about Across the Spider-Verse, I was going to start hunting those YouTubers down and duct taping them to their fucking chair. Because anything for Guardians, first thing I'd hear or see, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I could go away. And but for Across the Spider-Verse, Miles, fuck off!
Yeah.
Go away!
But no, I think overall, the Guardians does the best at furthering character arcs.
Yeah.
Making you understand more about the characters in the film, about how they work and whatnot. And I think that overall, it is the best sequel.
Yeah.
From
it is its definitely first. The best middle child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think Guardians overall, like I say, probably some of the best MCU films out there. The soundtracks are absolutely fantastic. They do really well at furthering character arcs, which, like we've already said, the other films just don't always seem to get right.
I will say the Guardians are probably my second favourite film sets. So if you take Iron Man, the Hulks, the Thors, the Caps and blah, 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 Guardians are my second favourite, just after the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It used to be Doctor Strange, but then, and spoiler ahead for when we get there, I'm not the biggest fan of the second Doctor Strange film.
No.
No. And also, anything the Spider-Man character is in, so like the What Ifs, the Avengers stuff, Civil War, he played the part well.
Yeah.
But then other stuff with Doctor Strange, I'm like, but we'll get into that later. But that's all I've got to say. I don't know about
that's,
you.
Yeah, that's it for
next
me.
Time we'll be dealing with the Age of Ultron in the next MCU one. But for now... Bye-bye.
See you later.